You're listening to the It's Her Time podcast with Cody and Jess. Hi, welcome back to the It's Her Time podcast. My name is Cody Sanders, and I'm a holistic health practitioner and functional nutritionist. Now, you may not know this, but March is Endometriosis Awareness Month. And so every March and on other months as well, I like to dive into endometriosis because it's a condition that affects so many women, especially some of you women that are using Mixer's products. You reach out to me often, and it's something that I feel so passionate about helping give you the right information and help to support you in the ways that maybe you're not receiving support elsewhere. But before we go into all of this, let's join Jess for a Mixer's Girl Say.
On today's Mixer's Girl Say, we actually brainstormed with our Mixer's community and we asked the question, what do you do when you need to overcome a challenge?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Oh, I have tried so many different things. And so I don't know if I have like a tried and true, always, you know, little recipe for this. But what I have learned is that the quicker I can be to responding to the challenge, the better the outcome. So a lot of times when things feel challenging, it's very tempting to try to run away from the challenge and try to kind of escape in whatever way. So that could be, you know, indulging in other distractions and things like that, or like crumbling in a ball and just wanting to lay in the bed all day long, you know, things like that. I have just found that through, you know, experience, I've learned that the quicker that I respond to the challenge, the more I'm able to get through it with like growth, because anything that challenges us helps us to grow and be by doing that over and over and over again, because challenges are always going to come. It's sometimes a daily challenge. You know, you build confidence, you build confidence that any challenge that comes my way, I know I can get through this, even though it feels hard. I know that I can get through anything.
Well, you build resilience.
Resilience. I love that word.
So I'm just going to list out what people wrote. So lists, talking it out, really getting anything out on paper helps me. Time heals all wounds. I allow myself to feel the feels. If I need to cry, I cry. If I want to laugh, I call a friend and laugh. I don't bury my feelings. I feel all of them. Go back to something I used to love. Pick up an old hobby or just do something that used to bring me joy. Exercise. Go for a walk to clear my mind. Listen to a book or podcast that frees my mind. Kind of weird, but I usually try and find some type of sound to listen to.
Oh no, that is not
great.
Weird.
That's so great. Love, like, I just turn on like meditation music or sound bowl music and like disconnect.
Look into sound therapy if you're like, what is this woman talking about? It's very powerful and it can have a huge impact on how you feel.
Yeah. I love this because it's similar to what you said. Like, I just make myself get up and I have to start by doing my makeup. I think like I relate to this where it's not even at all that I won't go out without makeup on. But when I'm in a funk, it's like, how can I best set myself up to come out of this? It's by like, okay, I'm going to do the things that at least help me feel the most prepared. Like,
you're
get myself
function.
Put together.
Yeah.
Get, you know, so I love that.
That's good.
Physically writing down my goals and steps to achieve the goals, telling myself that it's a phase and a stage and I can overcome this.
That's good.
A self-tan, getting ready for the day, eating better for the day, and prioritizing a workout. Breath work, journaling, all of these are musts for me. I just tell myself to do it, face it, and I'm going to do it with my whole heart. Push myself to be open and talk with others about my feelings so that I can have people to face it with. I love that.
All of those are so good, you guys. That was awesome. What do you do?
Well, I feel like
a lot of those.
A lot of these. Like, I'm like, I do some of that. I do some of this. I do try to prioritize exercise, even if it's not like a workout, but just getting outside on
moving.
A walk. Fresh air. I do try to meditate. I'm not great at
I'm
it.
So proud of you. It's so great.
You are.
I've come a long
you have.
Way.
I know. I relate to listening to sound. I do know the days that I just need to get myself dressed and ready and like start fresh.
And then also the days where you're like, I just really need to stay home and chill, right? that's been one of the biggest things for me. Cause
me too.
I struggled a lot with feeling like I
have to
be go, 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 or I'm failing the challenge.
Yeah.
And then I've learned too that like sometimes getting through a challenge is giving myself some time to rest. It's a big part of it. Mm-hmm.
That's something I love about working with Cody and with the team that we have here at Mixers is like, yes, we try to achieve large things. We are driven to tackle goals. But we also realize that we are all humans with limits.
That's right.
And times that one of us is struggling and we reach out and something's come up, or for the day I need to work from home, everyone is so quick to be like, rest up, we love you, disconnect, take a day. Like, there's not any of the like shaming of needing a moment. Like, it's supportive. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so good.
I love that too. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you for the input. We love hearing from our community. Hopefully some of these things that women are doing to overcome challenges, maybe some things that you needed to hear today. Remember that you're not alone. And let's get into the episode. Yeah. Mixers is a company made for women by women. Each of our products have been carefully and lovingly crafted to support you in all stages of your life, providing you with the optimal health you deserve. Each ingredient we handpick is 100% all natural, backed by science, and chosen specifically to better your life physically, mentally, and hormonally. Each product empowers your body to take charge of its monthly hormonal shift and flows, empowering you to live life to the fullest. Let Mixers take care of your needs from sunup to sundown, and you take care of the rest. Check us out at mixers.com, M-I-X-H-E-R-S.
All right, let's get into it. So endometriosis is a common health issue affecting women. 1 in 10 women have it. And I would say that probably 10 out of 10 women have been dismissed by their doctor at some point in their journey, because typically you go to your doctor with signs and symptoms of endometriosis, and the first thing you're told is, oh, here, just take the pill, or here's a painkiller. Periods are meant to be painful, and that's just the way that it is. Well, in this episode, we're going to talk about the symptoms of endometriosis and some strategies to help you get the care that you need. Now, many women go for years struggling because doctors dismiss their symptoms and try to suppress them with medications without getting to the root cause. Sometimes doctors have to use some form of hormonal contraceptive to treat women with symptoms of endometriosis, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't ask why the woman has the symptoms in the first place. So let's just start at the beginning. What is endometriosis? Now, endometrial tissue is normally only found lining the uterus. In women with endometriosis, however, there are endometrial implants in other areas of the body, such as the fallopian tubes, ovaries, intestines, and so many other places. It's important to note that while similar to endometrial implants, they're not exactly like the lining of your uterus. In fact, they tend to have more fibrous tissue and they tend to have more cysts. Now, because the endometrium responds to the same hormones that result in your period, these tissues, regardless of where they are in the body, also bleed when you have your period. This causes inflammation, resulting in scar tissue and severe pain. Now, in time, your body tries to protect you and it creates what's known as adhesions, which is like connective tissue that gets built up. And it begins to form in the reproductive organs like the intestines, the bladder, and other organs like that. Now, these adhesions can cause problems anywhere in the body. Now, endometriosis is both estrogen dependent and it's inflammatory. It can affect women at any stage of life. So let's just quickly kind of go over some of the symptoms of endometriosis. The first one is pain, okay? Now, pain in various forms is the number one symptom women with endometriosis report. Now, endopain is characterized by the three P's, okay? Painful periods, pain with sex, and pain between periods. So let's talk about painful periods. Now, I'm not just talking about a painful period, like so many of us know. Like popping a Midol is just not going to even touch it. Now, endometriosis cramps are debilitating. It causes things like vomiting and like hugging a water bottle, you know, that kind of debilitating. The cramps can last the entire period or even come on before your period begins, which means that some women are having pain for more than 10 days out of the month. Now, let's talk about pain during sex. Now, pain during intercourse can be caused by the adhesions that I was talking about earlier. Like I said before, adhesions can form in the pelvis, but they can also form in other areas of the body. Now, it can also, you can feel pain with urination or when you're having a bowel movement. So if you're a woman who has pain with urination or defecation or AKA pooping, it's worth investigating whether you potentially have endometriosis because adhesions can be in the bowels as well. So pain. You can have pain with bowel movements, pain with urination, pain in the abdomen, pain in your lower back, pain in your thighs. Pain can be with periods. Pain can be between periods with endometriosis. Do you ever get menstrual cramps and it radiates down your thighs? Well, that can be a sign of other things, but it may very well be endometriosis. Another sign or symptom of endometriosis is heavy periods. Another possible symptom of endometriosis is having extremely, though, heavy periods. In fact, in one study, they found that 73% of women with endometriosis reported heavy periods and period pain compared to 20% of women in the control group. The other symptom or sign is difficulty becoming pregnant. Now, endometriosis is estimated to be the cause of 10% or more of infertility cases. So this is a huge problem. When a young woman presents with period pain, doctors usually pass her hormonal birth control and that's the end of it. There is no discussion about what might be going on or even a mention that it could be endometriosis, which can end up causing problems with fertility if left unmanaged. All right, I want to go through a little endometriosis symptom quiz, okay? So if you're curious if you might have endometriosis, I want you to pay special attention. So let's go through a little quiz to check your symptoms. One, without pain medication, my period pain prevents me from going about my normal daily activities. Number two, my period pain can make me nauseous or cause me to vomit. Number three, I often experience low back or pelvic pain before and during my period that prevents me from going to work, being social, or even doing chores around the house. Number four, I often have pain with bowel movements, especially before and during my period. Five, I experience pain between my periods that restricts my activities. Six, it is common for me to experience pain with sex. Seven, I avoid sex because of pain. Eight, I experience pain with urination. Now, if you answered yes to just one or more of these questions, it is time to talk with your doctor. Now, write down your answers and then take these answers to your next doctor's appointment so that you can discuss these key areas and get the answers about your pain. Being an advocate for yourself is so important. There is a well-documented phenomenon known as medical gender bias. We talked a little bit about it a few weeks ago. Mainly, your doctor steps into the room with assumptions about you, your health, and your symptoms. So if you are a doctor, I'm not bagging on you, I promise, but there is research showing that women are more likely to have their pain dismissed and to receive inadequate treatment. They actually don't get treated correctly based solely on the fact that they're a woman. Now, it is 2024, and how is this still a thing? We got to make sure that this changes, and knowledge is power. It's therefore essential that you advocate for yourself. If you think that something's not normal, you're the only person who lives in your body, which means that you're the only one that has a barometer on what is actually normal for you. All right, now, I know you guys have heard me say this a lot. Period pain may be common, but it's not normal. It's also important for us all to recognize that when people see a doctor, they're usually sick and they have symptoms. So doctors are hearing daily from women with terribly painful periods, painful pooping, painful urination, painful intercourse, all of those things. And that can lead to the doctor to say, or that can lead the doctor to say that there's therefore it's all normal because he or she is hearing it all the time, but it's not normal. It's just common. Some women are given antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication, and they're sent to a counselor only to be told that they are being high maintenance, hypochondriac or hysterical. Yes, that word, despite its origin, still gets thrown around in medicine. But I am here to tell you that it's not in your head. You're not hysterical. If something's not right in your body, you have to advocate for yourself and keep looking until you find a doctor who listens to you. One of the first steps that you can take in advocating for yourself is to track your symptoms throughout your cycle. Now, having the data recorded not only helps you and your doctor get clarity about the severity of the situation, it also makes it a lot harder for any gaslighting to go down in the treatment room. So let's talk about diagnosing endometriosis, okay? Now, currently, the gold standard for an endometriosis diagnosis is surgery, specifically laparoscopy and biopsy. Even though it is a minimally invasive surgery compared to other procedures, it is still surgery. Nobody really wants to operate on a young woman's pelvis when she presents pain, which is why she is often given hormonal birth control. Women are often told that the birth control is the solution to her period problems, sometimes without a discussion about possible endometriosis. Now, women deserve to know that this is a possibility and may need to be investigated in the future. Now, recently, this is great news, a blood test has become available that claims to be able to detect 90% of cases of endometriosis. This test, known as the mitomic endometriosis test, is showing promise for early diagnosis. Now, let's get into the root causes of endometriosis, because I have a lot of you that always ask me, why? What causes this? Now, the reality is we're not entirely sure what causes endometriosis. We need a whole lot more research on the condition. However, there are a few factors that we have learned that are definitely playing a role in endometriosis. Now, the first one being estrogen dominance. We've come to understand that there is a hormonal component. Estrogen is one of those hormones that can influence immune system regulation, and estrogen dominance can make your immune system get all hot and bothered. And also, it overstimulates endometrial tissue anywhere in the body to grow or proliferate. It was once thought that estrogen dominance was the cause of endometriosis, but the dance that endo and estrogen are engaged in is much more complicated than that. Endometriosis is an inflammatory condition which can lead to estrogen dominance. However, estrogen dominance can aggravate the immune system and lead to further inflammation. A bit of a chicken and the egg situation here. But the bottom line is that you must treat inflammation and estrogen dominance in endometriosis. When I was in practice, we spent more time focused on creating harmony between hormones and the immune system than we did about worrying about what came first. So, because both need to be addressed. Now, the other big cause can be gut dysbiosis. We also know that endometriosis is an inflammatory condition that's likely rooted in autoimmunity and gut dysbiosis, just like it seems like everything else that's out there these days. Dysbiosis essentially means that your gut is unhealthy, and there's what's known as leaky gut. Now, you probably have organisms growing in the gut that shouldn't be there. When this occurs, we see that inflammation rises and hormone imbalances then evolve, and then pain can definitely increase. The other root cause can be environmental toxins. Now, many experts have begun questioning the role of environmental toxins. And I'm talking about chemicals like dioxins and PCBs in endometriosis. They're thought to increase the risk of endometriosis, and they do this by altering cytokines, which are the chemical messengers of the immune system. You can think of them as hormones of the immune system, and they can also alter immune function. In fact, they can alter your hormones altogether and can lead to you creating more adhesions. Now, environmental toxins also impact your liver function. Now, I already mentioned the estrogen component with endometriosis. We also have to recognize that the way that you process your estrogen plays a really big role in how things grow in your body. Your liver is responsible for making estrogen metabolites. Now, it can make the nice, safe, wonderful 2-hydroxyestrone, or it can put into the 4-hydroxy or 16-hydroxy pathway. Now, the 16-hydroxy pathway in particular, it's what stimulates growth. It's entirely possible that on your blood work, it looks like you have low estrogen, but in reality, when we test metabolites using something like a Dutch test, we can see that you're making the wrong kind of metabolites, and that is stimulating growth. So if environmental toxins are bogging down your liver, then we're going to see issues in terms of your estrogen just in general. Now, another root cause can be from using hormonal birth control to treat endometriosis. Now, I get it. Sometimes hormonal birth control, like the pill, can help a woman get out of pain so that she can actually work on the root cause of endometriosis. But there should be full acknowledgement that it is for the symptom management only and not actually a root cause solution. By prescribing birth control with that vital information, a woman then understands that there is other work that she has to do in order to manage her condition. Then she's not going to be under the impression that birth control will just fix her endometriosis. It's important for women with endometriosis to get symptom relief so that they can focus their energy on healing the root cause. Working towards healing takes a lot of energy. And if birth control helps you to control your pain, then you'll have energy to do the root cause work of eating well and moving your body. You know, when you're writhing in pain, then that's not going to help you to get to the root cause and do all of the work that's necessary to get done. Now, let's get into how we can treat endometriosis without birth control, okay? Because it is possible to treat endometriosis without birth control and to live a joyful life. I've helped many women eliminate pain and to help them increase their energy and improve their periods without birth control. But it does take a holistic approach. Using things like nutritional therapy through diet and proper supplementation, like with Her Time Extra Strength, as well as lifestyle modifications. And depending on your individual factors and your disease progression, it takes time. We have to remember that. It takes time to achieve all of this. Now, some of the best treatments for endometriosis, and all other chronic diseases for that matter, is that you have to take a multifactorial approach. It isn't simply a matter of changing your diet and then just boom, your endometriosis is healed. You need really to have like a whole healthcare plan and a whole healthcare team around you. Now, I would recommend, in addition to having a naturopathic physician or a functional medicine doctor working with you on the root cause of your endometriosis, I would also look out some of these other types of providers that sometimes we don't always think of, because they can help you work on other areas of your life. And obviously the list that I'm going to give you is no way exhaustive, but it gives you a sense of the kind of providers that are out there that can really help. So the first one I'm going to recommend is a mental and emotional support. So somebody like having a counselor or somebody who's supporting your mental and emotional health is absolutely a must. Now, women with chronic pain tend to be at higher risk for depression and for anxiety. If you can't even poop without being in pain, and we have to poop daily to get estrogen out, that's going to weigh on your psychological health for sure. Now, additionally, we know the thoughts we think have a big impact on our health, including inflammation. It's important to have support in this area of our health. It's not something to just push aside. Now, another recommendation is to seek out somebody like me, who's a certified functional nutritionist practitioner, or you could find somebody that's a registered dietitian. Now, you're likely going to need a diet upgrade when you're dealing with endometriosis. So working with a certified functional nutritionist practitioner or a registered dietitian can help you take the necessary steps to create a diet that lowers inflammation and then also helps to improve your hormones. They make a wonderful like adjunctive provider to help support you on your journey. Now, another one that you maybe wouldn't think is a necessity, but I always highly recommend it, is a massage therapist or even like a physical therapist and some personal trainers that have the right type of training. Now, the reason is, this isn't just a luxury, but the reason is that a massage therapist who can work on those adhesions that we talked about is so beneficial, because when you are in pain, the body will actually start shifting and changing in a way that it's thinking is safeguarding you against your pain. So having a massage therapist or a physical therapist or a personal trainer can be highly beneficial to your overall health, because they can help you address these needs. Now, the other thing that's very important is to find a specialized surgeon. Now, some women with endometriosis need to have surgery. There's absolutely no shame in that whatsoever. You want to do whatever you can to feel amazing in your body, whether that is using hormonal birth control temporarily, or it's getting surgery done, or making sure that you have some other support networks in your life. Whatever it takes for you to feel whole in your body and to be able to enjoy your life, then more power to you. But even if you're not planning surgery now, you want to spend some time investigating a surgeon and finding somebody that you can partner with. So if it does come down to surgery, you have already formed a relationship, making the process more seamless. Now, like we talked about, laparoscopy is the gold standard for endometriosis diagnosis. Now, having the diagnostic surgery with a surgeon who specializes in endometriosis can help you get the diagnosis and you can have treatment at the same time. Now, excision surgery, where the lesions are just removed, may help eliminate symptoms like pain. You can use nutrition, lifestyle, supplement, and medication therapies in conjunction with surgery. And you'll find many of the nutrition recommendations that I'm going to get into soon can also help with your post-operation recovery. So let's talk about endometriosis and how you can manage your pain. Okay. Now, while getting out of pain initially is not generally a root cause solution, it is a very necessary part of the healing process. I'm all about trying to make you feel better as soon as possible while we also work on the root cause. Now, I want to share a list of remedies that can help reduce pain associated with endometriosis and that can address root cause issues associated with endometriosis. Now, by employing natural therapies, you may be able to reduce or eliminate the need for medications like NSAIDs and other pain relievers. Now, if you didn't know already, you really want to avoid NSAIDs if you are dealing with hormonal imbalance. And obviously, endometriosis is a severe hormonal imbalance condition. Now, NSAIDs are basically your over-the-counter pain relievers, things like ibuprofen and Tylenol and things like that. Another way that you can help with this pain naturally is to supplement with melatonin. Now, research has shown that melatonin can help reduce menstrual pain, and it can help to reduce pain with sex, and it can help to reduce pain with urination and pain with bowel movements. Who knew? Melatonin can also help with keeping your ovaries healthy and protecting you against breast cancer. Although it helps with sleep, it's also an antioxidant. You can also boost your melatonin naturally by doing things like wearing amber glasses or sleeping in completely dark rooms. There's also certain foods that can really help you. Foods like pineapples, bananas, and oranges can really help to increase melatonin levels. Now, Mixers Her Nightly has 3 milligrams of melatonin, and I make sure that I take it every single night to help me sleep great, but I also know that it's providing all of that great antioxidant support as well. Now, a second nutrient that you want to look into is magnesium biglycinate. Now, we have that in several of our products. We have it in Her Time. We've got it in Her Thrive, but we especially have it in our Her Multi. Magnesium is involved in 300 plus metabolic pathways, okay? It is basically responsible for every function in our body. We need to have it. It is also an essential part of how we convert tryptophan into melatonin, okay? The reason that's important is because we use tryptophan in order to produce melatonin as well as like our relaxing feel-good hormones as well. So it's very important for us to have. Magnesium can help reduce pain and it can help you with processing out your estrogen, which is going to also help you to avoid estrogen dominance. Now, why? Because what it does is it helps to lower your prostaglandins. Now, what are prostaglandins? Those are the hormone-like substances that cause your cramping, okay? They cause that cramping contraction, which can be severe and very debilitating, especially if you have endometriosis. Now, elevated levels of prostaglandins are associated with more painful menstrual cramps. Okay, the other thing that you really, other nutrients that you really want to make sure you're getting in that can help and be a more natural solution is vitamin B complex. Okay, now B vitamins are important for estrogen metabolism. They also are necessary for liver detoxification and for hormone production. Now, B5 specifically helps support our adrenal glands so that they can produce inflammation-lowering cortisol. And B6 is essential for progesterone production, which keeps our estrogen in check. So to create melatonin, you need B6. You therefore need to take a quality vitamin B complex daily as well. I never recommend taking just one B vitamin alone. That's because if you increase just one B vitamin, then you can ramp up part of the metabolic pathway and then you start using up other B vitamins, but you're not replenishing or replacing them. So I recommend combining these other supplements with Her Multi because it provides a vitamin B complex. Now, another way that you can help to fight pain is to apply heat. Okay. So placing a hot water bottle on your abdomen or on your lower back can really help to naturally reduce pain. You can also consider taking a hot bath with Epsom salt to help alleviate pain, which actually provides you a lot of magnesium as well. Now, the other tip that I have is to use turmeric. Okay. Now, turmeric is a spice that is a potent anti-inflammatory that can also support healthy estrogen metabolism. Now, when selecting a turmeric supplement, it's important that you find one that's actually highly bioavailable. This means that your body will actually be able to absorb it and utilize it. Unfortunately, though, many turmeric supplements that are available on the market are poorly absorbed, which means although you're taking it, you won't really see the benefits of it. Now, turmeric is also highly beneficial for liver detoxification and optimizes the health of your cells. When inflammation goes high, it's harder to use our hormones at the cellular level. So this is another way that turmeric can support hormone health. Now, I love making a golden milk. It's also known as a turmeric latte. And all I do is I just heat up unsweetened coconut milk and then I add my spices. I add my turmeric, my cinnamon and ginger. And then this is really important. I add a little bit of black pepper. And what that does is it helps to increase the absorbency of the turmeric. And it, to me, it tastes like those golden graham cereal. Try it and tell me if you're the same with me. That's what I think it tastes like. It tastes delicious. It's like a treat I look forward to every day. Now, the other thing you want to make sure you're doing, and I know you're not going to be surprised because I feel like I give this tip almost in every episode, but eat a hormone balancing diet. Now, if we suspect that there is an autoimmune component to endometriosis, then we can shift the diet and we can begin to heal the gut. Now, while dietary changes are a super important piece of the puzzle, I just want to be clear that they are alone, they're not enough. A change in diet is absolutely necessary, but I don't want you to feel frustrated or like you did something wrong if you change your diet and then you don't see miraculous improvement. There are a lot of people out there promising that a quick diet fix can make your endometriosis be gone for good. Now, sadly, this just isn't the case. Diet is a very important piece of the puzzle, but it is only one piece of the puzzle. Now, endometriosis, like we've talked about, has an inflammatory component. And so I generally recommend eliminating key inflammatory foods initially, not forever. So I talk about eliminating foods like gluten and dairy and soy, because these have been shown to be very helpful for many endometriosis patients. Now, does that mean that you can never eat cheese again? No, it's not what I'm saying, but you have to test what is true for your body by eliminating it temporarily. I'm also going to be real with you here because I don't like to focus on taking out foods. Instead, the better way to do this is to focus on how we can build our nutrient-dense diets, okay? By consuming as many nutrient-dense foods as possible. We basically crowd out the foods that aren't serving us and we bring in more that are serving us. So another way to do this is just try your best to increase your daily vegetables. You also need to eat as many greens as possible every single day. You know what the goal is actually? I don't know if people are actually doing this. And if you are, way to go. We should be getting 6 to 9 servings of vegetables a day. Now, it might sound crazy because that's a lot of vegetables, but I just say start small. Even if you just add 1 serving of vegetables to your diet every single day for a week, and then the next week, you just add an additional serving until you get to that's closer to the 6 to 9 servings of vegetables a day, then you're doing an amazing job. Starting small increases your chances of making changes that will actually stick. Very few people are successful with making dietary changes when they just change everything overnight. So be gentle with yourself and always remind yourself of why you're doing this. The other thing that's really important that you want to make sure you're doing is you want to make sure that you're supporting your gut health. Okay. Now, while we eliminated potentially aggravating foods, what we would do in my practice is we'd also get to work with healing the gut. Now, I recommend using a high quality probiotic, like what is in Her Digest. But also, I encourage you eating more foods like garlic and onions and cruciferous vegetables and fermented foods. They help to support metabolizing your hormones as well as support the immune system because they support the intestines, which supports those good gut bugs. Okay. The other thing is you want to make sure you really love up on your adrenal glands. Okay. It's a must. Your adrenal glands produce cortisol, which helps to lower inflammation. And in addition, they help with energy, moods, and so much more. However, in HPA dysregulation, also known as adrenal fatigue, the brain can signal to your glands to produce cortisol at the expense of producing progesterone, which can lead to estrogen dominance and then more period problems. So now, as we've discussed already, supporting estrogen elimination and boosting your adrenal function and ensuring a healthy gut is essential to any period problem, with endo being no exception. This is why HerTime Extra Strength was formulated. It's available to support women's hormone balance as well as adrenal support. And if you add in HerDigest, you are going to be supporting these three systems very powerfully. When using this combination, I found that women have much better outcomes in a shorter period of time. Now, I know a lot of you have asked me questions, how long should it take before I feel better? I just want to say, remember that healing takes time, and patience is probably the hardest part of healing from a chronic condition. Now, a good way to gauge how long it will take is to look at how long you've been experiencing symptoms. Let's say you've had symptoms for 12 years. We can probably expect about 12 months of you really dialing in your diet, your lifestyle, and your supplements, the whole works, to start seeing a resolution of what is going on. Now, does that mean that it will take you 12 months to feel better? Absolutely not. But it's a good mindset practice to be realistic about what it takes to heal the body naturally, because it's not like using a pharmaceutical quick band-aid approach, okay? A pharmaceutical basically makes your body submit. But if you're using natural therapies, you're working with your body. So you'll have to start working with your intuition as well to know when it's time to rest and when it's time to change things up. It's a lot of responsibility, but I also want to point out that it is tremendously empowering. All right. Well, let's wrap up this episode. I hope that this was helpful. Please let me know by leaving a comment below this video. If you are listening on any of your favorite podcast platforms, you can leave us a rating and review, and I read those all the time. And please, you can share this episode with the girl in your life that will benefit most from this episode, because as you know, sharing is caring. I want to say thank you so much to each and every single one of you guys for tuning in every single week. I hope that you can join us again next week. I have another incredible expert that's joining me as my guest, and you will definitely want to hear what she has to share. Until next week, I hope you have a very happy and healthy week. Bye.